If you were walking in the woods down the path with all the pine needles that smell so good, after a little while you'll come to a small pond that has a huge willow tree beside it. That's the enchanted willow tree. In the trunk of the tree there's a wooden door with a magic rhyme carved in it. If you read the rhyme aloud and then spin around, the door will open and you can go inside and up the spiral staircase carved into the tree trunk. At the top of the stairs is Treehouse Radio.
Sunshine through leaves, branches in the breeze, rhyme and spin, and traipse on in.
Come on, hurry up!
Yeah, I'm getting tired!
Hello, and welcome to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen.
We're coming to you from the Enchanted Willow Tree, the oldest willow tree in Champaign-Urbana.
I'm Kim, and I'm hosting the show today with Nicole.
And I'm Nicole, and I'm hosting the show today with Kim.
Mahita Bella Cat is at the control board.
Today we have a very special show planned for you, our Treehouse Radio Halloween Special!
And that scream was done by Polly Kemp's class at University Primary School.
We'll be hearing from them whenever we say the words, Treehouse Radio Halloween Special!
We'll also have lots of spooky music for you and a story called The Scariest Thing. And we're going to hear the world premiere of the radio drama called
The Witch's House.
Ooh.
But first, a word from our sponsor, the Solar Powered Candy Counter Company.
I couldn't breathe.
He's crazy.
You are listening to Treehouse Radio,
where kids are heard but not seen.
And now it's time to hear some writing. Beatrice Burton is going to read a poem she wrote called Snow.
Snow by Beatrice Burton. Last night it started. I looked out the window. Thousands of little fairies in white sparkling dresses and white hats were floating through the sky, landing all over Urbana. Jack Frost ran around on the windows, leaving white designs where he had stepped. I probably thought of writing it because the night before I wrote it, I looked out the window and it was snowing. And the next day at school, I didn't know what to write about, so I just wrote about how I felt about snow.
Was composed by Victor Kraus, just for the story.
Nicole, hurry! Mango Tree Radio!
Oh yeah, I forgot! You introduce it quick, before it starts!
Well, Sarah, my friend,
and mine,
helped us start Treehouse Radio, but then she had to go with her parents to Thailand for about 6 months. Anyway, she'll be back soon, and back on our show, but she started her own shortwave radio station in Thailand, called Mango Tree Radio, and this is our last chance to hear it.
Shh! Here it comes.
Hello, everybody back in America. This is Sarah, and I'm talking to you in the ripest mango tree in all of Thailand. It's located in the capital of Thailand, Bangkok. Anyway, welcome to the Mango Tree Radio. Today I'll be talking about a big festival that takes place all over Thailand every year on the full moon in November. This festival is called Loy Kathong. Children and adults celebrate this festival by sailing small to humongous baskets made from banana leaves, decorated with flowers, and in the middle of the basket there's one incense stick and one candle. When I went there, I found out that the purpose for all this is to send out all of your bad luck, or at least what bad luck you've had that year. It reminded me of the 4th of July. Everybody had fireworks. This festival runs from the evening all the way through 2 or 3 in the morning. A few years ago, I learned how to make a kratong. I also watched several school children make them. This year, I decided instead of buying one, I should make one. I found it harder than I thought to make one, but on the other hand, I found it a lot of fun. After finishing it, I went with some friends to the Chao Phraya, the main river in Bangkok. It was really fun. The only problem was that it was terribly crowded, and the line to sail Yucatan was extremely long. We finally got to sail it. Unfortunately, after no more than 5 minutes, it sank. If you don't have enough time to make one, you can just go out on the main road, and there will be hundreds of Kratongs for sale. You can go almost anywhere in Bangkok and get to see the fireworks, even on your own road. Ragatong is, if not the main festival, one of the main in all of Thailand. Before I leave, I'm going to play a traditional song. Every year, people sing and dance to this at the festival.
And now it's time for an FAKE commercial.
Wow, look what I've got. It's the new and improved homework machine, and it's selling for only $29.95. Here's the directions. You put your paper under the flap like on a ditto machine. And when you buy it, you put your handwriting on it so it will always write like that, so your teacher will think that you really hand wrote it. On sale now at your nearest supply store.
Today's Treehouse Radio is sponsored by Wolf Cola. Every time you drink, you wolf. Ow, ow, ow!
Bananas, you've really got appeal. Bananas.
You are listening to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen. We return now to The Pond by the Enchanted Willow Tree, where Michael Swerth is asking May Barenbaum about bugs.
Do you know why insects have green blood?
Well, actually, not all insects have green blood. Sometimes when you squish an insect, green
blood comes
stuff
out.
Oozes out. Well, sometimes that's not blood. That's the contents of their guts. And if they've been eating plants, like about half of all insect species on Earth do, then what you're seeing is sort of ground-up dinner. But one of the reasons insects don't have red blood like we do is they're kind
cold-blooded.
Well, they're cold-blooded. That's true. But, you know, we use red blood because our blood carries oxygen. It helps us breathe. Insects don't breathe that way. They breathe through little holes in their side, so they don't need a red material in their blood to carry oxygen. So their blood can be any color at all. And in fact, lots of different insects have lots of different colored blood. So the old tongue twister about bugs' black blood is, you know, not only hard to say, it's true. You try saying it three times fast. Bugs black blood. Can you do it?
What do you mean?
Bugs black blood.
Bugs black blood. Bugs black blood. Bugs black blood.
Not bad for a first time through. Yeah. So there's
blood,
bugs.
I mean, bugs black blood. Bugs black blood. Bugs black blood. Bugs black blood.
You want another insect tongue twister? I got one for you.
No,
too hard. Critical cricket critic. That's somebody who.
Critical
cricket critic.
Cricket critic. Critical cricket critic. Critical cricket critic.
Yeah, close. That's somebody who doesn't like the way crickets chirping. You know why crickets chirp?
No.
That's actually because they're usually they're guys looking for girls. That's how they attract girls, as they make chirping sounds, and the female crickets come. You know, each species has its own cricket chirp. So, I suppose if a female didn't particularly like a male's way of chirping, she could be a critical cricket critic.
I have a little sister. She's only half past three.
Really terrible to you.
Well, now it's time for this week's radio drama.
This is The Mystery of the Curious Boy. Stephen is played by Zoe Isaacson. Tommy is played by Lindsay Thomas. The mom is done by Tara Ray Mallory Golson. Narration was by Mary Atack.
Here is the mystery of a curious boy.
In a small town named Desert Island in California, there lived a 6-year-old boy named Tommy. He lived with his mother in a small brick house. Tommy wanted to go to the park and play in the playground across the street.
Mother, can I go outside to play?
Well, Tommy, where are you going?
I'm going to the park across the street.
Well, okay, but be careful and watch for cars.
So Tommy went outside to the park. When he got there, he saw a strange man in a car.
Hi, do you want some candy?
Yes, I do. What kind is it?
It's butterscotch and it's in the back seat.
Okay.
So Tommy got in the back seat and Stephen drove off.
Vroom, vroom.
Stop the car and let me go.
Ha ha, I've got you now.
Tommy was scared and now he was trapped. But there was another guy in the back seat. His name was Mike. He is the best detective in the whole country.
Shh, I'll get you out of here.
So when Stephen wasn't looking and stopped at a stop sign, Mike grabbed Tommy and ran out of the car.
Come back with that little boy!
So Mike ran down to the end of the street, but Stephen caught up with him.
Hey, I'm in your club. How about a handshake? You are? I didn't know that.
So Mike and Stephen shook hands, and then Mike pulled handcuffs out of his pocket.
You're under arrest, Stephen.
Stephen was put in jail for 20 years and never kidnapped anyone for the rest of his life.
The end.
I think that we should never do this, but this is just to teach kids a lesson about how you should never take candy or talk to strangers.
Yeah, and never to even, go near strangers.
And if someone asks you to get in their car and get some candy, say no and run away.
So when you run away from the person in the car, tell your parents about it.
And if you see a strange man, you should walk away and tell your mom.
Or woman.
Or at least get if he's in the car. At least.
If it wasn't for her, I probably never would have written this story.
Boom! It does not work, exclaimed Mr. Ravinsky. It is supposed to go bump, bang, clang, not boom. Can I never get it to work? Mr. Ravinsky was an inventor. He was trying to make a machine that went bump, bang, clang. He tried and tried, but he thought that it would never work, until Mario came to his shop. Mario was his neighbor, and sometimes he helped Mr. Ravinsky in his shop. He was 10 years old and was very helpful. "Hello, Mr. Ravinsky," said Mario happily as he walked through the door. "Ah, hello, Mario," called Mr. Ravinsky from behind his machine. "What are you working on, Mr. Ravinsky?" asked Mario. "My BBC machine." "Neat," said Mario. "Can I help?" "Of course you can, Mario," said Mr. Ravinsky. "Okay," said Mario as he walked over to the machine. Whoops. Mario dropped his baseball, which bounced into a pan, which flipped over onto another pan. Bump, bang, clang went the pans and the ball. "Mario, you gave me an idea." Mr. Ravinsky and Mario worked all afternoon and the next day. Finally, they were almost finished. "Wait here, Mario," said Mr. Ravinsky as he wheeled his machine into the back room. "I will finish it back here." 15 minutes later, Mr. Ravinsky rolled out his machine with the cloth over it. Then he pulled off the cloth. There was a hand holding a baseball, and below it was a tile like the ones on Mr. Ravinsky's floor. Next to the tile was a pan with a hand under it. Next to the pan was another pan. Mr. Ravinsky pressed a button on the side of his machine. The hand dropped the ball, which bounced off the tile into the pan, and the hand flipped the pan over onto the other pan. Bump, bang, clang went the machine. Mario clapped. "Wow, Mr. Ravinsky," he said. "That was neat. What are you going to do with it?" "I'm going to keep it here in my shop, and when I feel like hearing the sounds bump, bang, clang, I will turn it on." "I like to hear those sounds," said Mr. Ravinsky. "That's why I made the machine in the first place." This ends the story about the crazy inventor who wanted to invent a machine that went bump, bang, clang. His machine went on to win first prize in the town fair of crazy inventions. The machine became so popular that everyone in the village wanted one. Soon, Mr. Ravinsky became so tired that he couldn't make any more of his machines. That was okay because everyone in town already had a machine. But that was a long time ago, and now there are no more BBC machines around. For the rest of his life, Mario never forgot the afternoon when Mr. Ravinsky displayed his machine in front of him. And he went on to invent a machine that went boom, crash, sputter.
When I was just a wee little lad full of... what it was, and I guess I never will.
That was The Marvelous Toy, sung by Tom Paxton.
Lots of people sing that song, but Tom Paxton is the one who actually wrote it.
It's from his album, The Marvelous Toy and Other Gallimaufry.
And in case you're wondering what Gallimaufry means, it means hodgepodge.
Which is a bunch of things that are together that don't really go together. Mehitabel looked it up for us.
You're listening to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Come on down to Marty's, where the biscuits bake and burn.
Huh? Burn? I've never heard of a burnt biscuit at Marty's. We'll go down on the street and see if anyone's ever heard of that.
Hello, you, sir. Have you ever heard of a burnt biscuit at Marty's?
No way. The biscuits there are perfect every day.
See? There you have it. Come on down to Marty's, where the biscuits are real good.
That was Philip and Alexandra Bass for Marty's.
And now it's time for our Out on a Limb. When some brave person goes out on the shakiest limb of our willow tree and reads an editorial,
gives their opinion on something they care about.
And Jeremy Hobson is out on a limb right now.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
May Day was originated in India and Egypt at fertility festivals. It is on the 1st of May. One of my favorite parts of May Day is getting the candy. May Day is also known worldwide as a large holiday concerning politics. One thing you can do on May Day is delivering baskets.
Anyway, you've never been down there before.
Anyway, getting back to the show. Katie, what was it like talking to Hillary Clinton? What happened?
Well, she was really nice, and she was fun to talk to. She explained a lot about what she'd done for children.
Really? Neat.
So, how does it feel talking to somebody that might be in the White House soon?
Well, I was sort of excited because I had never talked to someone this famous who was, like, practically running for president. And so, when we got into the car, it wasn't a limousine, actually, but we got into the big car, and so we just started right off talking about her work for children.
So you did the interview in the car?
Well, actually, before we started the interview, I waited at the airport with Sherry and my parents, and it seemed like a really, really long time, but really it was only about 15 minutes. Well, when she got there, she had to stay in this some kind of room. I don't know what it was. And then she came out, and we took a couple pictures, me and her. And then we got in the car, and we just started talking.
So were you scared?
Well, I guess kind of, especially on the drive from my house with Sherry Lynn to the airport. Because we were like, oh, man, oh, gosh, I can't wait for this. But I've never interviewed somebody this famous. And we just started carrying on and on and on about, oh, God, I'm so excited. So, basically, we were just real, real, real nervous. Not exactly what I would call scared.
Well, I think I would have been scared.
Well, once you got in the car and started talking, you just realized that she's a normal person and she is that big, but she is that special, but she's not really... She's a mom. She has a job. She's a working mom, and that's it. Besides being the president's wife, or the presidential candidate's wife.
So, what did you like? How long was it?
Well, the interview. It was most of the time in the car.
Peter Bubba Cat is at the control board.
We're up here in the Enchanted Willow Tree, and we have Katie Schrepfer with us.
Hello again. On Thursday, September 10th, 1992, at 11:45 a.m., Katie was at Willard Airport waiting for Hillary Clinton's plane to arrive. While there, she talked a little bit with her mother.
Yeah, well, the main thing is to have fun.
Yeah, I know.
Be cool. Just smile. Yes.
Just a short time later, Hillary Clinton arrived, moving fast. She was surrounded by a crowd of people, her press secretary and her senior political analyst, her Secret Service people, and more.
She stopped and said hello. She had a picture taken with Katie, and then they got in the back of the car with her press secretary. In the front of the car were Secret Service men.
The interview began.
Hi, Hillary. Since this is a kids' radio show, I was wondering, I know you work with a lot of children. What do you think is the most important thing you've done with kids?
Well, Katie, I think probably of all the work I've done, the work that I have done in Arkansas to improve our public schools is what I have really focused on and think is very important. For more than 9 years, I have tried to make our schools better so that students could learn more.
How did you get interested in working with children, especially for education?
It started when I was in high school. I spent time through my church with different kinds of children and worked with them and their families, and then through college and law school, I just kept getting interested in thinking that it was something that was important to me to do to try to help our children.
You mentioned law school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I went to Yale Law School, and I started in 1969, and I graduated in 1973. That's where I met my future husband. And in law school, I specialized in issues that affected children and families.
What types of work besides education did you do?
And this is Trios Radio, where kids are heard but not seen. I'm Nicole, and I'm hosting the show today with Kim.
And I'm Kim, and I'm hosting the show with Nicole.
Next up, we have a very interesting story about a tornado and a cat.
This was written by Noni Feinberg.
And here she is.
I just saw a picture at school, and then I wanted to write it. It was a picture of a cat sitting down. There was newspapers and stuff blowing around, and a mouse was blowing around. This cat was reading a newspaper. She felt some strong wind. It was a tornado. She opened her mouth for a mouse, but instead she got a tornado. She went to the doctor. The doctor took it out but got blown away.
Radio, where kids are heard but not seen, broadcasting from inside the world-famous Enchanted Willow Tree.
And now we're going to hear from Demir D. Zafarov.
He is originally from Czechoslovakia, and he lives in Champaign-Urbana now.
He's 9 and does a whole lot of writing. Here's Demir with The Human's Free or Controlled Life.
Science of Human Life, Demir D. Zafarov. Chapter 1, The Human's Free or Controlled Life. There are some very interesting questions about our life. Is the life already prepared for each human, so the human is just some kind of a machine controlled by some gods in the space? Or does each human have a free vote for his own life, so he can make it however he wants to? People have all kinds of different answers to these questions. Some people think that there is a god in the space who controls all the people on the earth. If so, then why don't all the people believe in him? People say that the God might not want all of us to believe in him. It doesn't matter to him. Another possibility, people think that there is a God and a devil. The God tells the humans right thing to do, but the devil tells them the opposite. That's why we're not nice to each other sometimes. Some people say that when the earth will end, God will make a new earth, just like he did for us, and those new people on the new earth will think exactly the same as we do about how the earth was made. Some people think that they have a God inside their body, so they can do whatever they want to. They can control their own selves. Some people are wondering, if God really controls people, then why do some people say not very nice words about him? Doesn't it matter to him? People say, make an experiment, invent a time machine, and go far into the future in a year when you still live. Find your own house and family, and look, if you live in that time, and if you do everything normally there, that tells you that life is controlled. But if you don't live in that time, and you are supposed to, that means that life isn't controlled by any gods, but you control your own life.
And fly right, cool down, Papa. Don't you blow your top? Yeah. Fly right.
You are listening to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen. 12 o'clock Treehouse Radio time.
So that's all for this week. This has been Sheila and Cindy.
With Maheda Bell the cat at the control board.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Treehouse Radio's executive producer is Sherry Lynn. Consulting producer is Dan Simeone. Maheda Bell, the cat, is our engineer. Sandra Combs and Grace Gibson are our hosts. Theme music is the tune Planksty Crilly from the album Carolyn's Cottage by Jomi Wilson. If you are 12 or younger, please send us your writing. We'll keep it on file for a year and we'll try to fit you in our show. Our mailing address is Treehouse Radio, Station A, P.O. Box 2334, Champaign, Illinois, 61825. Thanks for listening to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen.